Well, hey guys, tonight what I wanted to do was spend some time looking at what Jesus Christ did once he was resurrected. The first few days he was resurrected. I thought it would be really cool to see how, you know, we look at the crucifixion and we look at the days previous to the crucifixion of what happened and what went on. And I thought it'd be really cool just to read. We're going to read a lot of scripture to just see the response that he has towards his disciples, towards the believers that followed him. And I think God just really put some wonderful things in there to encourage us in light of that situation. So let's go to John chapter 20 first. We'll start there. Another thing I want you to remember as we read this is that this Christ we are reading about lives in each one of us. This man's actions that were taken after he was resurrected live within us too. And I want you to think about that as you watch how he handled people, how he expressed his love and his compassion to the very people that ran and hid when he was taken. Some of them didn't run and hide, but some of them did. So let's just start in verse 1. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he stood, stooping down and looking inside. He saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying in the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. And then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also and saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scriptures that he must arise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away to their own homes. Verse 11, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." How distraught she must have been. You know, how freaked out Peter and the other disciple must have been. They just left. This was unbelievable to them almost. But she stayed there. Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus says to her, "Mary." Now, think about that. There's Jesus. She doesn't recognize him. She's emotionally probably pushed to the limit because of her love for Jesus Christ. And he says to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say teacher. As soon as she heard his voice, she knew who he was. I think it's really cool. This is just me. I think it is just something that I saw that God put on my heart, that the first person he sees once he's he's arisen from the dead. The first person is a woman, and it's Mary. And they definitely had a deep relationship built by this time. And I thought about that. Why a woman? You know, especially in those day and times, men were definitely thought of as a step up from being a woman. But then I started thinking about the garden. In the garden, it was the woman that got deceived. It was the man that just followed into the deception. And here, she is the first person, a woman, who has loved him and cares for him deeply, is who he talks to. And I thought that was pretty cool, because to me, it's like she is the one that gets to see the deliverance in its fullness for the first time with Jesus Christ. Let's go to verse 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day, that evening, okay, this is the same day. Now, you know, he got really tortured, beaten, hung on a cross, died. Now, this is the first day he's up. The same day, that evening, being the first of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Come on, guys, get your crap together." No, he said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And that must have just been such a moment of compassion and love that was flowing from Jesus' heart to these guys, because he knew how much they loved him. And he knew that they were feeling guilty because of what they did in denying him. And yet there he is that first evening with them and says, "Peace be with you." This is the Jesus that lives in us. And sometimes we need to say that to ourselves. You know, we can get our heads all screwed up and think things we shouldn't think or question things we don't really need to question. And you know what? Jesus lives inside of you. Don't think for one minute he's not trying to fill you with peace in those moments. We just have to recognize that and let him. Peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. They finally started figuring it out. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And look at that, you guys. Look at that. He's commissioning them to do something. That just amazes me. And when he had said these things, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Look in verse 24. I mean, that must have just been a tremendous time with Jesus Christ. And his love and compassion is just so phenomenal. But he lives in us. And we have that same love and compassion, not just towards us, but towards each other. Look in verse 25. The other disciples often said to Thomas, 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, Thomas, remember Thomas, doubting Thomas, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and I put my finger into the print of the nails, and I put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Wow. After all Christ has done, and this is still where his heart is. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the door being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace to you." Again, he comes and tries to make sure their hearts are at peace. Then he says to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your finger here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Man. I almost choke up just reading that. You know, Jesus didn't have to still have those marks on his body. He was delivered. But he allowed that to happen so that Thomas could believe. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Now, this is a figure of speech here. My Lord and my God. And it's where two nouns are used to describe the same thing. Thomas did not call him God. Thomas isn't saying Jesus is God. It is a figure of speech, which does what? It marks that phrase so that you'll stop and take a look at it. And the essence of what he's saying in that figure of speech is, my godly Lord. That's what that figure of speech is. And in verse 29, Jesus says to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those, listen to this verse, blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. Have you seen Jesus Christ? Nope. Do you believe? Absolutely. What an amazing statement. Verse 30, and truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. I thought about that for a while. I don't know how much more could have been written. But there are. But these things are written. Listen to these words. But these things are written that you, Wally and Vicki, you, Jackson, you, Marita, you, Barney, every you that is on this line, these words were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you have life in his name. I find that to be such an amazing verse when I think about it. Here's God, and here we are. Thousands of years later, and yet there is a written word of God that directs us into why these things were written, so that you and I can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life, and that's that eternal life in his name. Man, what an amazing chapter in the book of John. It's just full. And now I want to look at one other thing that he did very close to that, right after the resurrection happened. And let's go to Luke to look at that. It's God is just so good. And our Lord and Savior is so for us and wants us to know him, even thousands of years later, you guys. God and Jesus Christ look down here, and it brings great joy to them when we manifest those things, when we trust him, when we walk like Christ walked. It's we can do it. He did what he did, not only for those people right next to him that day, but for us, thousands of years later. Luke 24, right? Okay, Luke 24, and we're going to verse 13. This is something else he did on the day when they were, after he had done some of the stuff he did with the disciples. Verse 13, now behold, two of them, this is about the road to Emmaus, traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now, a lot of people think that it was two men, but it doesn't say two men anywhere. What most biblical scholars believe after working the scriptures is that This is, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, guys. Cleopas and his wife Mary. And Cleopas would be the uncle of Jesus Christ through Mary. Mary, the mother Mary of Jesus Christ, was Cleopas' sister. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all the things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew nigh and went with them. Now, do you know how big a crowd Jesus could have drawn had he publicly put himself out there and said, if you want to hear me preach, come on, I'm up, I'm fine, and I'm going to teach it. But he didn't. He saw two people, and he wanted to minister to them. And while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened here these days? It's kind of like, what's the matter with you? And he says to them, what things? I think that's so cool. He had a little sense of humor here too, didn't he? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Do you think that blessed Jesus Christ for them to be sharing that with who they thought was a stranger that didn't know anything? What did they do? They shared about him first. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that he had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. I think that is just, they must have been so excited to share that. And Jesus says to them, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ who has suffered these things and to be entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Man, what a night that must have been at the dinner table. Then they drew near to the village where they were going. Well, he did that on the road. They drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards the evening and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Oh man, how exciting that must have been for them. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them, they're getting ready to have their minds blown really good here, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? That must have been just what a tremendous, loving, kind thing to do for two people that were important in his life. And I don't think they were just important because they could have been his aunt and uncle. They were important because they were important to God. And God and him had just done the most remarkable thing 3 days earlier so that we could all have that Christ within us. I'm sure their hearts burned within them. It just had to have been such a great night. So they rose up that very hour They didn't go to sleep, but they did it. Returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about all the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. And now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Wow, that must have been so cool. Peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened as supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do you doubt? Arise in your hearts. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marvel, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" And they gave him a piece of boiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. How cool is that, you guys? He shows them he even gets to eat. He's trying to show them that he is the risen Christ. And I just thought it was so sweet and so powerful and so loving and compassionate and kind for God to allow him and direct him to spend that time with his apostles and with the people that he was close to that loved him and followed him while he was walking on this earth. And of course, you know, in Acts, right before the ascension, you know where he went, right? He was with all of them. He was with the 12, including Judas. And he taught them about what was coming, the Holy Spirit, and how to receive it. That's the last thing he did with his disciples. And that is one of the most important things that the church today, for a lot of places, don't remember this or believe it, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we can speak in tongues, we can prophesy, we can interpret, we can heal. All of those things that are available to Jesus Christ live within us because, you guys, he lives within us. It's not me and you doing it. It's him in us working with us and we with him. That power that we have to be able to love people, minister to people, take care of people. And we are the ones that have to make the decision to do it. God's not going to force us. But when I look at these examples in the gospel of what Jesus Christ did, even after the resurrection, even after the crucifixion and the pain and sorrow he had to be feeling and going through, God delivered him, and peace be still, peace be to you. And all the loving things he did and said to them and showed them in the short time that he was here on earth. Wow. Don't ever doubt yourselves. Don't ever doubt that you can't love that way because you can. That you can't have that tenderness and that compassion and that desire to heal people, to deliver people, to bless people, to fill people with peace and joy. Because that is one of the reasons he came, to do those things for us. And we can have that in our hearts and share that with others whenever we make the decision to do that. God gives us the ability. We have to have the desire and make the decisions to walk out on what he's given us so that we can minister and bless people's lives and put that joy and peace in their hearts so that they look at the Lord Jesus Christ and at our God and Father and want to do the same thing. So that's just a few things he did before he ascended into heaven, but I thought those were some of the coolest situations to look at tonight. So I hope you enjoyed that. I love you guys, and God bless.